Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., the headquarters of American Free Press. And in fact, a new edition of American Free Press is out this week, folks. I just saw the new edition. It went to the printer last week, and there's a big, ugly picture of me on the front page this week, along with Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, the former Prime Minister of Malaysia. He's about twice as old as I am, but he's far more handsome than I am. I can tell you that, ladies and gentlemen. Incidentally, I'm hoping to have Dr. Mahathir as a guest here on the program in the very near future. He's been traveling and been obviously on the road, so he's not exactly able to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and do a radio show. That's what time it would be, his time in Malaysia. So in any case, I'll keep you posted on that. I am hoping to have the good doctor here with us, and I know a lot of our listeners will be very interested in what Dr. Mahathir has had to say. He's been an outspoken critic of Zionism and the outrages of the State of Israel, and with what's going on in the Middle East right now, that's probably something that does need to be discussed in a little bit more detail. Certainly occupying the front pages of the newspapers, and needless to say, it's all part and parcel of what those of us who've been criticizing Israel to the distress of many have been warning about for a long, long time, the fact that this part of the world is a tinderbox, and we could have a nuclear war coming out of that region. Well, folks, I just had a birthday yesterday. I am now 46 years old. Much to the distress of many of my critics who would like to see me silenced. But alas, I have made another birthday and expect to have many, many more. So I accept your belated birthday wishes after the fact. I guess that's redundant. Belated means after the fact. Okay, we don't have any guests tonight. We're going to have open phones. And one of the things I'd like to discuss, though, is the very controversial guest we had last week, Sam Danner, a witness to events at the Pentagon, received quite a bit of email in response to the several programs that I had Sam on board with me here, along with my colleague from both American Free Press and the Republic Broadcasting Network, Christopher Berlin. And I'd just like to talk a little bit about that, because this whole 911 question is a very important issue, and we've got to get it right. If we're going to be criticizing the government and saying the government's lied, which we know the government has lied, we've got to get all our ducks in order. I'm the first to rant and rave about the necessity of getting our stories straight. I constantly complain about the fact that people misinterpret things and misreport things, and I'm talking about people on our side, ladies and gentlemen. So that's what I say. It's very, very important that we air out all the questions that arise about witnesses like Sam Danner or whoever it happens to be, because we are taking on this very evil force that controls our government. I don't consider our government evil. I don't consider our system of government evil, but I consider these very evil people who are now sadly in control of our government to be evil. And that's why it's so critical that when we're trying to reach out to good Americans and show them what's wrong, we have to be able to show that we have the facts on our side and that we get the story straight. So, when we come back from the break, which is coming up here very shortly, I'm going to make some comments on that. And then I want to invite your phone calls. So that call-in number here is 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. This is Michael Collins Piper. Looking forward to talking to you here tonight, here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned for more.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It's Monday afternoon. I'm Michael Collins Piper coming to you right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network from Washington, D.C. Very hot and sunny day here today. I wish it was so hot that these criminals in Congress would melt and then dry up and we would be done with them forever. Same thing with those gangsters down there at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. That's the White House, for those of you who don't know your addresses in Washington. Okay, well, folks, as I say, we're going to have open phones here tonight. The number is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. If you want to talk about Sam Danner, if you want to talk about my interview with Willis Cardo last Friday, or I should say just this past Friday, whatever you want to talk about, the lines are open. Right now, though, I am going to talk about the Sam Danner affair, and I call it the Sam Danner affair because based on an email I got from Mr. Danner, he's having a pretty rough time as a consequence of his appearances here on the Republic Broadcasting Network with yours truly and our my colleague Christopher Belin. Apparently the heat is on. Mr. Danner has been getting a lot of angry phone calls and other forms of pressure from various corporate entities and, how should we put this? I don't want to name any names, but let's just put it this way. A lot of people are unhappy about Mr. Danner having come on the air and mentioned things that they don't want to be associated with. People he's been associated with, corporations he's been associated with, et cetera, et cetera. I don't need to go into the details. nor do I have all the details. But nonetheless, this sudden fame or infamy has not been a wonderful thing for Mr. Danner. So anybody who thinks that he was looking for 5 minutes of fame, or as the case may be, 3 or 4 hours of fame, as a, it's not been something that has been a wonderful experience for him. Needless to say, we don't pay guests to come on the Republic Broadcasting Network, so he certainly didn't make any money from spending his time here with us. My feeling about Mr. Danner, as it's been from the very beginning since I first spoke to him, is that he is a very sincere, honest man. Because of my gut feeling in that regard, and because of the trust that my colleague Christopher Blinn had for Mr. Danner, I was glad to have him on this program. And I hasten to add that his presence on this program was not restricted. That is, it was wide open. We had open phones. People could call in here. We don't screen, at least I don't have my calls screened before they come in here, so I don't know what questions they're going to ask. And everybody that called in, that I was able to get up to ask a question of Mr. Danner, had the opportunity to do it. We had critical callers who raised very, very good points, and I thought that Mr. Danner tried to answer them as best he could. Several people have, and I've gotten several emails on the subject. They've been directed to me. I'm going to pass them on to Christopher Blinn. So if any of you have sent me emails, I was away from the computer for several days, celebrating my birthday, as I mentioned, and So I'm going to be passing those emails on to Christopher Blinn, who's far more versed in the particulars of the events, for example, at the Pentagon than I am, and I wouldn't even begin to try to answer them because I couldn't answer them, and it would not be fair for me or the people who asked the questions for me to try to answer those questions. So they'll be passed on to Christopher Blinn. I would say in general that one of the underlying themes of those who have had questions about Mr. Danner is this, that people seem to sense that he was mixing his own personal experiences with things that he read about after the fact. And I'll tell you what, folks, I noticed in listening with a critical ear, so to speak, to Mr. Danner in his discussions that he, in fact, did on occasion, maybe on too many occasions, refer to things that he had read after the fact. But, you know, this is a natural thing, folks, and I don't think anybody has really raised questions about Mr. Danner's integrity or suggested that Mr. Danner has been lying, because, number one, I don't think he has been lying. I haven't heard anyone say this, even suggest that he was lying. But my personal advice to Mr. Danner when I speak to him, and I'll say it here on the air, too, is for him to retain his credibility, it's going to be necessary for him to just stick to precisely what he knows. And this is what I have told other people who have been witnesses to other events, other things related to 911, what have you, that it's critical that people, especially in this position, stick to precisely what they know, because when they start going afield, they might trip themselves up, and then that raises questions in some people's minds about the credibility of everything they have to say. But as far as Mr. Danner is concerned, I don't think this is a man who's looking for publicity. I don't think it's a man who has made anything up. I have great trust in his integrity. And if he's willing to come back on the air, although I don't know if he will be after what he's experienced in his personal life and from within his community as a consequence of speaking out, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he won't. So that's most unfortunate, because this is what does happen to people who do dare to speak out. You know, Mr. Danner's suffering from lymphoma right now and undergoing chemotherapy. I'm sorry that he is doing that, but I'm not going to give him my medical advice. He can get it from others, but needless to say, this is not a good time in his life or his family's life, and I'm glad he came on the program and told us what he did, and I wish him the best. And if he wants to come back, he certainly has a forum here, and Likewise, not only does Mr. Danner have a forum here, but people who want to ask Mr. Danner questions have a forum here, or who want to talk about Mr. Danner. So do keep that in mind. All right, I'll tell you what, folks, we already have two calls, which I'm glad to say we do. We're going to first go to Nick in Wyoming. Nick, come on up.
Hey, Mike, it's Mick. Mick in Wyoming.
Mick.
Hey,
Mick in Wyoming, okay.
Yeah, hey, I just got your final judgment. It's excellent.
Oh, good.
Excellent. There's no doubt about who was behind it, you know? No doubt at all who was behind the JFK assassination. And the RFK and you know, you're pointing out that...
Well, if you want to extend it, Mick, it probably extends to the Oklahoma City bombing and 911, too, so...
Yep. Hey, did you hear about... there was this Stern guy. He owns this company that was selling bulletproof vests to the military, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about this one?
Well, outline it. I may have, but it doesn't ring a bell offhand.
Yeah, I just heard this on the public radio a couple months ago, and Jim Hightower did it in, like, in a couple minutes.
Okay.
Explained how this guy, Stern, he was selling us inferior bulletproof vests to the military, you know, that were basically worthless.
Okay.
Right? And he's making buku millions and millions of dollars off, you know, selling these vests. And Mr. Hightower went into how this guy, Stern, had this $12 million bar mitzvah for his daughter flying in rock. Oh, I mean, rock stars, you know, giving presents to all his daughter's Jewish friends. And, my God, man, they're just laughing at us and walking all the way to the bank, aren't they?
Well, I tell you, you know, it's kind of funny, Mick. One of the things that people don't know about the, we always hear this term, the military-industrial complex. And it's a good term because it really does describe what we have here in this country. But I tell you what I found out quite by accident some years ago through some contacts I had in the defense contracting and subcontracting industry, a lot of the defense contractors that are operating today, you know, we hear the names of these big companies like, you know, Northrop and all what have you, you know, they actually, although they're very big, wealthy companies, they subcontract out a great deal of their work to much smaller companies. And a lot of these smaller companies and their subcontractors, they emerged out of the black market from World War II. And this black market was all racketeering, tied up with the Meyer-Lansky crime syndicate. So what happened is these guys were dealing in contraband during World War II, and then came out of World War II and set up shop legitimately. And then, of course, they were set in place for the Korean War and then subsequently for Vietnam. And so what we think of as the military-industrial complex, that's a nice way of putting it, actually might be called the Zionist organized crime military-industrial complex.
I think you hit the nail there right on the head.
Yeah, that's a subject of a book that someone with detailed knowledge of that particular and sometimes very arcane field would have to do. I certainly am not qualified to do it, but it's something that somebody should write, because if you started digging into it, you would find that a lot of the defense contractors came out of the Meyer-Lansky crime syndicate. So
like they're still part of it, too.
And are still part of it. Yeah, I had contact with a gentleman who was in the military contracting business, and he was framed and sent to jail by his partners, who were tied in very closely with the Israeli intelligence. So I learned a hell of a lot in a very short time about a subject that I really didn't know that much about. So it's like I say, it's one of those areas, you know, that people, you know, hear about it, but they don't know the exact details. And that's why I always say, you know, if you really look under the rocks carefully, you'll find out a lot. Mick, if you want to hang on for the break, please feel free to do so. This is
right.
Michael Collins Piper. We're going to a break now, ladies and gentlemen, but we'll be back for your calls. The number here is 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Headline news. Activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The Council to Get Some Food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Self-Reliance update. RBN has just learned of a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it is so effective at producing rapid and natural plant growth that it seems to force plants to grow like crazy under almost any soil in light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of C nutrients maximizes mineral uptake, dramatically increases bloom set, and gives any plant a tremendous burst of new growth. In fact, some plants may double in size the very first month. ProtoGrow is also guaranteed to produce more succulent, mouth-watering fruits and vegetables than you can carry back to the house. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. RBN listeners who want to stay prepared should call right now to order ProtoGrow. Ask about their self-reliant super pack. Call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Or visit the ProtoGrow website at www.protogrow.com.
Okay, folks, this is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I should mention that there is a story in this week's issue of the new edition of American Free Press. Just came out today. It has this. It's a story by Christopher Berlin about Sam Danner. So if you're not subscribing to American Free Press, you should be. Lots of good material in there, folks. You can always call the 800 number anytime between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The number is 888-699-NEWS, 888-699-NEWS. You can get a free sample of the paper, or you can subscribe. They offer some really good discount rates, like something like $17.76 for 16 weeks, I believe. I don't have it here in front of me, but since I'm not a professional huckster, I don't have all those details handy. So forgive me if I'm off by a dollar or off by a number of weeks if you can subscribe. But $17.76 is a pretty good price for quite a few weeks of AFP. In any case, we have Mick from Wyoming here. Mick, you came on board and pressed my buttons, and I started blabbering and blubbering and didn't let you get a word in edgewise. So
Interesting the way you brought it out. Hey, Mr. Stern is just laughing at the troops as well. Just selling them pure garbage, bulletproof vests. Don't care a hoot how many troops get killed with this garbage vest. Just cares about the millions. You can steal from the poor tax suckers, you know?
Well, what amazes me is that our friends in the government have let this guy get away with this, which you've described. I mean, it amazes me that, I mean, the guy, let's put it this way. If this, you know, let's be honest here. If this guy deliberately sold shoddy goods that endangered the lives of our soldiers, I'm going to say it, folks, if he deliberately sold shoddy goods, he should be taken out and shot. Now, perhaps, perhaps he didn't mean to sell shoddy goods. Okay, perhaps he didn't. Perhaps it was a mistake. But, you know,
I don't know, man. Let me make this point. Sure.
Maybe he didn't mean to do it, but you know what? I thought we had all these sharp guys in government, guys and gals in government, whose job it is to make sure that shoddy goods like this don't get out to the soldiers. I mean, I wonder what they're doing. I wonder if they're spending too much time. I mean, I don't know what they're doing, but the very fact that the government allowed this to get out there, I mean, you know, this is President Bush who's constantly talking about the sacrifices of our soldiers and you know, how they're fighting for America and everything, and the president is not doing anything to ensure their safety. Surely there must be grounds to bring proper action against the proper, or in this case, improper authorities who let this happen. It's a very, very interesting case, Mick. I don't think I was aware of it, and I appreciate you bringing it up.
Hey, call Jim, talk to Jim Hightower, get the details. I'm sure your readers would appreciate it.
That
expose you did on John McCainstein, that was excellent a couple months ago. I caught him on a Tucson talk show back in 93, and he is a Jew. The host, Bert Lee, said, "You're a Jew." And McCain said, yeah, but he hushed it up. So you're right on about that trend.
Well, I never said John McCain was Jewish, but what I did say was that his wife's family have ties to organized crime and the Lansky Syndicate. That's correct. That's no question about that. John McCain and of course his own father helped cover up the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty. So there's some pretty black marks against John McCain.
He is a Jew. I heard him admit it on talk radio.
Well, I've never heard that. That's a new one to me. I always thought he was an Episcopalian, but...
Church of England. He's definitely not what he appears to be.
Well, let's put it this way. Whatever he is, he ain't what we need in the White House. So.
That's for sure.
All right, Mick, I want to thank you.
Media love him, too. You know that?
What's that?
Right there. The media love him.
Oh, that's true enough. They love him.
Take
all right, let's go to Ben from Florida. Ben, how are you doing?
How you doing, Mike?
How you doing, Ben? I haven't heard from you in a while. Where you been?
I was away for 6 weeks visiting family from the Peoria down to New Jersey, back again. All right, here's what I want to get off my chest.
Okay.
Hezbollah, ad nauseum. Hezbollah is getting their weapons from Iran, Syria. I mean, this is ad nauseum. Hezbollah. And for good measure, so the Palestinians wouldn't forget it, Israel took time out from bombing civilians in Lebanon to take a whack at the Gaza, the Palestinian Authority building, all in the same day. Yesterday, on mainstream press.
Well, you know, I would think the Israelis might be having the times of their lives here because, you know, one of their official but unofficial policies has been always to destabilize their neighbors. So they should be very happy with what they're accomplishing, killing all these innocent civilians and destroying the infrastructure of Lebanon. I'm sure that'll give a lot of Israeli connected companies the opportunity to go back in there and rebuild it. Ben, we've got a break coming up already. Why don't you stay on with us? This is Michael Collins Piper here. We're wrapping up the first half hour, but we have another half hour ahead and several callers. Stay tuned, folks. Lots of good talk here on Republic Broadcast.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
ever climbing as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
As a listener of this network, you know that we bring you the news and analysis that you just won't get from the corporate-dominated media outlets in this country. As an educated citizen, you also know that freedom itself is not free, but requires constant vigilance and sacrifice. A radio network such as Republic Broadcasting Network, a rare commodity indeed, also cannot survive on good intentions alone. So the next time you think about going down to the local superstore or electronics store, stop, get online first, and visit RepublicTradingPost.com. We have thousands of items at very competitive prices, and every dollar you spend with us will be invested back into RBN, so that we may continue to bring you the news and information the public so desperately needs. RepublicTradingPost.com. The store that invests its profits in your freedom.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11th through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Right, Patriots. And I assume everybody who's listening here tonight is a Patriot. Welcome back to the Republic Broadcasting Network. This is Michael Collins Piper. I'm coming to you from Washington. I don't know if you're listening at RBNLive.com or whether you're listening on shortwave or maybe even on the RBN listen line, but at least you're listening, and that's good because it would be a waste of my time to be sitting here talking and be a waste of time for our callers to be calling in and if no one was listening. So that's what we're here for, to talk and get some ideas out there. We have Ben from Florida. Ben, come on back up. You were talking about what's going on in that cauldron called the Middle East.
Oh, yeah. I guess I got the Gaza. So for good measure, so the Palestinians don't forget them. They bombed the Palestinian Authority building there. It was right on the media, together with shifting the blame on Iran and Syria.
Oh, well, this is going
to
be...
Oh, and Israel should have the right to defend themselves.
Well, you know, I tell you what, I am anti-war. I've always been anti-war, but I tell you what I concluded a long time ago, Ben, that if there's one war that America needs to fight, that's a war against Israel. The United States needs to send a force into Israel to dismantle Israel's nuclear weapons arsenal. Do it by force. And I'll tell you what, that's not just my opinion. The United States Army War College issued a report some months ago. And, you know, it's funny, that report has been kept under wraps by the mass media. I wrote about it in American Free Press, but the guys at the U.S. Army War College said the one way we could help bring stability to the Middle East and put an end to the nuclear arms race would be to dismantle Israel's nuclear arsenal. And that would give us leverage in dealing with these other countries in the Middle East that are building nuclear weapons or perceived to be nuclear weapons. So I'll tell you what, I think in this case we need to invade Israel. We need to take out their nuclear arsenal. If they try to resist, we need to give them the treatment that any country we've ever dealt with in other ways of that nature. If they resist, then we will have to deal with them. Because Israel is not our ally if Israel is dragging us into all these problems there, Ben. What do you think about that?
I agree wholeheartedly.
Well, you've been in combat, Ben. You know what we're talking about here, and you know what the people are going through, and you know what all these soldiers are going through. So it's not like you and I are armchair. I'm an armchair military strategist here, but you've been in combat, so you know what I'm talking about.
Damn right. There's no evil greater than war, Mike. It's murder in the most gruesome way. Burnt bodies you can't touch hanging out of tanks to fall apart. Rats coming out of the beautiful fig tree to feed on dead. Oh, come on.
Yeah, you know,
Mike,
you know
it made an animal out of this person talking to you. I was an animal. By the time I part of the war with the Germans was over, I came to the conclusion they were more civilized than I was.
Well, you know,
and I could go into detail on that.
Ben, the funny thing is, though, we've got these armchair war hawks up here in Washington that they just want to send American men and women all over the world to do their bidding, and usually it's for the Zionist cause. So it's about time we need, you know, the military's fed up with it. These men and women who are coming home with their arms and legs blown off and other parts of their bodies, you know.
Exactly.
They're beginning to understand what's going on. So we need veterans from previous wars like you, Ben, to help educate them. So I thank you for your call.
Thank you. I just came back in time to catch you with Willis.
Oh, you enjoyed that.
That was great. And
all
who
right,
was the benefactor?
Ben. All right.
Who was the benefactor? Was it the governor, Edison, or was it the scientist, Edison? The original benefactor.
It was, it was Thomas Edison's niece.
Oh.
But Governor Edison used to be a supporter of Liberty Lobby. Governor Edison of New Jersey.
He was a patriot, one of the few political patriots.
He understood what was going on. The whole Edison family did. Okay,
thank you
for your call, Ben. All right, let's go to Country Boy in Indiana. Country Boy always contributes to the debate here. What's going on tonight?
Hey, I never attended the Army War College, but let me give you two facts from a person at company level or down or lower. First of all, the nation is not at war. The military and their families are at war. You know, the majority of people here, they just go on with their regular daily lives, and the other people, the military and their families, are definitely at war. Now, also, there were reports that there were defective chemical protection suits issued to United States soldiers.
Jesus.
Now, this is very bad because you remember that they were going in there, and they were supposedly going to get hit with weapons of mass destruction, whether
That's
they
right.
were gas or chemical. So the thing is that this was probably hushed up because the results of those defective suits were never brought out by an attack.
Exactly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So here's another thing where they spend millions of dollars and supposedly before something would happen, you know, that they would tell you and you're training it with this gear that you can have confidence in it. And then after you get deployed into action, somebody comes out and, you know, so, whatever, it comes out and they say that the stuff you've been issued won't protect you from what you may get hit with. So it's just not good for the soldiers.
You know, Country Boy, I've always been a supporter of the military, you know, but I tell you what, when I hear stories like this, I wonder who to blame this on, the civilians in the Pentagon, you know, the civilian inspectors, or does the blame go right to the top? I don't know. I mean, do you, where does the buck stop in something like that?
Well, it's not so much to blame, but I can tell you where the buck stops is with the poor soldier that's got to use that equipment or even the weapon. The M16s and the 9mm that I've been hearing are totally some political deal back in the mid-'80s where somebody is going to make money on it. You know, they should have never replaced the 45 caliber. Nobody, you know, few people wanted that at the time. And now the pistol that was issued can't do what it needs to be, you know, done.
You know, it's funny. My colleague at American Free Press, Mike Blair, he wrote about that back in our old newspaper, The Spotlight, years ago, and you know what? I had totally forgotten about that, but as they say, the chickens are coming home to roost here.
Now, who are the two patriots that called for you to be off RBN?
Well, it's a little more subtle than that. There was some pressure applied. There was somebody working to try to sabotage this program. I'm not going to name any names here. I just want them to know. I'm sure they know exactly that I know who they are. Just like I told the U.S. ambassador to Malaysia, I told him, I know what you did. I know what you did. I'm keeping an eye on you, and it's just a symbol to me that I'm accomplishing something.
Hey,
so I'm not going to name any names here. They know who they are.
All right. On the 4th of July broadcast, I want to ask you, what did you learn from that broadcast? And let me bring out two things before you answer that question. It was a poor format. There was too many people on it. They had problems every time they were trying to identify somebody to get them to come up. There was a big waste of time.
Okay. Yeah, that was an unfortunate. There were good intentions there, but it kind of made things very difficult. Yeah,
because they had that character Barry Chomish on there, and between you and Chris Bolin, I was expecting for you guys to involve him in a debate, because at the very end, when you guys finally got to him, they, you know, how do you handle someone whenever, you know, you talk about Israel's aggression, you know, that's a loaded word, but if you want to say that.
That's what it is, yeah.
Yes, but Chomish would come across and say, well, if you don't want Israel to be doing that, then the Palestinians shouldn't be kidnapping Israeli soldiers.
Right, well, like I say, you know, it was that particular program, that was an overflow of Mr. Shine, Eric Shine had been hosting. For those who don't know what we're talking about, I should bring this up. Eric Shine had been hosting John Stadtmiller's program, which precedes mine, and they wanted to roll it over into a three-hour format. So I said, sure, go ahead. So we all kind of joined in, and it was very, very difficult for there to be any real give and take for technical reasons, and because not all the guests were on the same page, and we're talking about a lot of different things. So I myself, if you noticed, I had very little to say on that program because I was just, I was coming back from my trip. I had just gotten back from my trip overseas and just catching up on things. But now I have very profound disagreements with Barry Chomish. He's said some nice things about some of my writing, but I've said some nice things about some of his writing, I will say this much, that I don't buy his particular focus. I don't buy his theme.
Right. Well, the thing was, when you complimented him at the beginning, I said to myself, wait a minute, maybe this is going to be good. Maybe he's setting him up for something. Maybe he's learning in. And I was listening, and I think between you and Chris Bolin, I says, now, you know, this is the reason why I want to listen, because I want to hear how these masters of the art are going to be able to take him on. And then in the last minute, Bolin said something about some criminal being related to Israel's prime minister being the head of security at Logan's airport, and Chomish is saying, oh, this is unbelievable. I can't believe this. And, you know, so what? You know, that was good, but, you know, whatever came of it. And then at the end, you know, there just wasn't one.
Yeah, there really wasn't. There really just wasn't any opportunity for any. It was just too free-for-all, and it really wasn't even a free-for-all because the technical restrictions made it impossible for us to debate. Yeah.
When I heard you compliment him and say how you respect him, I said, wait a minute, this may be a technique of debate, so I want to see how this pans out. So.
No, I was just using my first opportunity to address him in person to thank him for the nice things that he's written about me.
Okay.
But actually, I suspect if he and I were in debate, it wouldn't be as friendly. All right, country boy, I got to move on here. Appreciate your call, as always. Let's go to Tom in Arkansas.
Hi, Mike.
How are you doing tonight, Tom?
I'm fine, fine. I wanted to get back to this topic of Sam Donner.
Okay, it's actually Danner, D-A-N-N-E-R. Okay.
Danner, excuse me.
That's
Sam. And I hope he's listening, because I've pretty much served the same kind of role as Sam. I came forward with information I had about the World Trade Towers days after the attack.
Okay.
As soon as the first plane hit, I sat in my chair and said, this is it. These buildings are going to fall. So I pretty
okay.
much saw my life drift away at that moment. But regardless of my personal take on any of it, you know, there must be a lot more people like Sam. I take him at face value.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Who were close enough to the scene, to the action, maybe have a spouse or a family members who are saying, Daddy, you know, you really need to tell people what you know. And I think we need to get over all this small change and the arguments about people's intentions, even within the 9/11 movement. We have a very serious situation. The last 2 hours, we listened to John Stadtmiller talk about the financial catastrophes heading our way, and that's just, we're out of time.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, you know, and as far as the situation with there being other witnesses, you know, I had a discussion about that this afternoon with somebody, and I suspect that, you know, of all the people who were in the immediate area of the Pentagon, there were other people who saw things, saw essentially what Sam Danner saw.
Mm-hmm.
And then, after the fact, they've heard the official version of what happened, whether it was within the immediate minutes or whether the hours or the days or the years afterward. And then they may have said something to somebody, and they were told, well, don't worry about it, we've got that covered. This is what happened to people who were there on the grassy knoll and in Dealey Plaza. You know, they went to the FBI and told the FBI what they saw, and the FBI said, well, no, you didn't see that. And they would say, well, yes, I did see that. And they'd say, no, you didn't. We've got that covered. Don't worry about it. This is a national security matter. This is something you just... And then, of course, and then some of those people, Jean Hill is the one person I'm thinking of in particular. And there was another lady who saw some things before the Kennedy assassination. The FBI written reports on what she had to say did not represent what she said. And so this is what people are up against, and that's what I say. Sam Danner came across to me in the times that I spoke to him personally, on the telephone, I should say, spoke mm-hmm. to him on the telephone, when he was on the air, and then off the air between the breaks, or during the breaks, he would come back and say, well, now, wait a minute, did I say something wrong?
Mm-hmm.
This was obviously a very sincere guy who was trying to be as honest as possible. And he may have at times, and I think he did, I should say, I think at times he may have had a tendency to refer to things that he had read after the fact. But on the whole, I think as I said on the air the first night, he exuded sincerity.
Of course.
Yeah, and even one of his critics, who emailed me privately and who's obviously a very sincere person and who's really trying to get to the bottom of 9-1-1. And I'll say his name on the air. It's not a secret. Russell Pickering. Even Russell said to me in an email, which I just got today, Russell commented, and Russell called in here on one of the nights Sam was on the air. Russell commented that Sam came across as being honest to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm paraphrasing, maybe he didn't use the term honest, but I mean, in other words, he said he didn't think that he was deliberately coming up there and telling lies, because there are people, you know, there are people who do come forward and tell lies about events like this, and you know, that's a problem for all of us who are looking for the real truth, so.
Right, and we have, if you go to all the 101 million 9/11 sites, you see just a continual bickering about planes, no planes. This guy said that. Obviously, he's Contel Pro. He's intelligence, blah, 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 blah. Wait, I like Russell Pickering, by the way. I've emailed him as well.
Yeah, he's a very sharp guy. In fact, I'm going to be sending him an email later. Tom, I'm going to have to move on here. Got a lot of calls.
Well, again, thank you, Sam, for coming forward.
I thank Sam as well. Let's go to Radkins in Vermont.
Thank you, Michael. The two callers before just stole my thunder, but I wanted to add that Joyce Riley on her show told about the company Isertec in New Jersey, who made I don't know how many thousand faulty chemical suits.
Hey, Radkins, do me a favor. Hold on for the break here. We've got this break coming up that's going to interrupt our train of thought. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. Michael Collins Piper here on RBNLive.com.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We're getting ready to wrap up the hour. We have quite a few callers here, but we've got Radkins from Vermont on the line. He was making a point when we went to the break.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up the company Isertec that made 1,000 or so faulty chemical suits, and those more savvy, you know, I wonder if someone could do the research on who the company was in New Jersey, Isertec, and, you know, it's like our government does sell out our soldiers.
I would like to think these are mistakes. I mean, I hate to think that our government is so corrupt or so incompetent that they would
Well, Michael, look at what Kissinger said in the 70s. Soldiers are dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns to affect foreign policy. That sums it up. They don't care. They want to destroy our army. Why are the base closings? It's to make us defenseless so they can bring in NATO forces.
Well, I tell you what, you know, that I've heard that quote from Henry Kissinger, and, you know, I tell you what, if Henry Kissinger said that, I'd like to see him out on the front lines right now.
Well, I talked to a fellow just the other day at the gas station. He was in the military in the 70s, and I spouted that off to him, and he lit right up. He said, oh, I remember that. We were furious.
You know what?
He would beat us.
Listen, that's what we need more of in this country. We need more furious people who are going to say, like Howard Beale said, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Can you articulate a little more John McCain's father? How did he cover up the USS Liberty? And also, wasn't it McCain and Kerry who blocked the return of the Vietnamese POW, not Vietnamese, but our vets in Vietnam?
Yeah, John McCain, my colleague Mike Blair at American Free Press has written a great deal on the intrigues of John McCain, and that reminds me, you know, I'm going to have to get Mike on here one evening to talk about John McCain, because John McCain, I'm going to be, pardon my language here, John McCain is a piece of scum. And even though he was a POW, a lot of the POW families are not very happy with John McCain. Now, as his father was part of the official cover-up of the USS Liberty affair. You know, they basically called the men in from the Liberty and told them, you know, fellas, it was a bad thing that happened to you here, but don't you ever talk about it, because something terrible might happen to you. So that's another thing that we're going to discuss on this program. We're going to get some of the Liberty survivors on here and let them just tell their own stories. And, you know, people always say support our troops, but for some reason, these people around Bush who say support our troops don't show any support for the men who were aboard the USS Liberty.
What capacity was McCain's father?
Well, McCain's father was a big figure in the Navy at that time. Now, I don't have the information handy, but as I recall, he was in one of the supervisory positions above the people who were putting together the final report on what happened to the Liberty and its men. Okay. I don't want to go any further than that, because I don't want to misstate things, but there's no question about it. Admiral John Sidney McCain, the father of Senator John McCain, was a major player in the cover-up of the USS Liberty. So the McCain family have been bought and sold by the Israeli lobby and by organized crime elements linked to the Israeli lobby, and that's all the more reason to keep them out of the White House. Okay, well, listen, I've got to go here. We've all got to go. I hear that music playing. Apologies to Keith and Bruce and Jerry, who were hanging on patiently. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Collins Piper saying farewell for the evening, but I hope you'll join me here tomorrow night on the Republic Broadcasting Network. But don't turn your radio off. There's a lot of good programming ahead. Thanks again for joining in, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate your calls, and I appreciate your interest. Thanks to John Stapmiller and the folks at RBN for making this program possible.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
They still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.